From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday. Get this, December 1st. Can you believe that it's already the last month of the year? Unbelievable stuff, but we are so glad that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We've got a lot to chat about with so little time. On today's show, I will be inviting Richard Kincaid to the show, Detroit sports broadcaster who knows a thing or two about Detroit Tigers, MSU football. I mean, what doesn't Richard know about, okay? That's the question. That's the real question. But Rich is going to join me on the show during our second segment. Before that, we'll dive into the Michigan State football press conference. I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium as head coach Mark D'Antonio addressed the media to give us all a preview on what he expects to go down at Lucas Oil Stadium this weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana. You don't want to miss that. We'll also break down our thoughts and predictions on who will be in the top four tonight when the College Football Selection Committee sits down with their latest rankings. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about Kevin Durant criticizing the media over Kobe Bryant treatment. Yeah, interesting story there. And also, we'll chat briefly about the MSU men's basketball team. All of that and so much more. Our phone lines are open. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 if you want to be a part of our airwaves. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, we start with news concerning Shalique Calhoun. Michigan State senior defensive end Shalique Calhoun made it a trifecta on Monday as he was named All Big Ten First Team by media and coaches for the third straight season. Calhoun, who has a career-high 8.5 sacks this year, could not score the second Smith-Brown defensive Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year honor of his career. I should say he could score that. That went to Ohio State's Joey Bosa. Calhoun won the award as a sophomore, though, back in 2013. But MSU's other players honored on Monday included sophomore defensive tackle Malik McDowell, who was voted second team by media and coaches, junior linebacker Riley Bulla, who was voted second team by media and third team by coaches, senior linebacker Darian Harris, and former Current Sports production assistant, who was voted third team coaches, and junior defensive back Demetrius Cox, who was voted third team by coaches as well. Congratulations to those Spartans. Unbelievable years, and it's not done yet. All right, the MSU football staff tweeted its regrets to recruits yesterday. Today, 2 days after the Spartans routed Penn State and punched their ticket to the Big Ten Championship game. Again, that will take place 8:15 p.m. Saturday on Fox. The message says, quote, public service announcement for Michigan State football. We apologize to talented recruits all over the nation. Our coaching staff will not be able to visit this week. We are preparing for the Big Ten Championship game. Thank you for your patience and understanding. Indy, here we come. Go green. Gotta love that. That was actually sent yesterday. Gotta love that message, right? Western Michigan will play Middle Tennessee in the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. That's pretty cool, right? I would love to be in the Bahamas right now. Well, no, I'd rather be here with you, but the Bahamas, I wouldn't be complaining if I was there, all right? Now, it is the first completed matchup for this season's record, 41 bowls. Western Michigan finished the year 7-5 in a three-way tie in the Max West Division. Now, Middle Tennessee is also 7-5, finished in a two-way tie in Conference USA's East Division. Congrats to Western Michigan and PJ Fleck. Pretty cool stuff. All right, Javon Haynes, an East Lansing graduate who now plays for Lansing Community College, torched Alpena in the Muskegon Classic for a school record 55 points. Pretty cool stuff there, narrowly bypassing Paul Stoll Sr.'s previous record of 54 set back in 1975. Now, in 31 minutes, Haynes went 21 of 29 from the field, including 9 of 14 from the three-point range. He also flirted with a triple-double, dishing out 8 assists and hauling in 11 rebounds. That's called one cool night. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they shot 52.9% from the floor in a 116-105 win over the Houston Rockets, including 35% on three-pointers. They were spectacular in the first half, scoring 64 points, struggling in the third quarter, but finished the game with a 32-point fourth. Reggie Jackson had 31 points. Andre Drummond had 24 points and 13 rebounds. Routine double-double for him. And Stanley Johnson added 19 points and a career-best 10 rebounds. Steph Curry was held in relative check for most of Monday night. The reigning MVP and NBA's leading scorer had 16 points through three quarters as Draymond Green and other teammates did the heavy lifting. Then came the fourth. Curry exploded for 10 of his 26 in the final 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and the Golden State Warriors held on for their NBA record 19th consecutive win to start the year after a 106-103 victory over the Utah Jazz on Monday night. The Warriors try to make it 20 when they travel to face the Hornets on Wednesday. The Buffalo Sabres, they will take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight at 7:30 p.m. Although Detroit has points in 7 straight games, it's blown third period leads in four straight, 5 of the past 7 and 7 times this season. The latest, a 2-1 overtime loss Sunday to the Florida Panthers. And last but not least, how about that Monday night game last night, huh, folks? Even though it was two trash teams, it was still a pretty thrilling outcome. Will Hill returned a blocked field goal 64 yards for a touchdown as time expired, giving the Baltimore Ravens a 34-27 win on Monday night over the Cleveland Browns, who lost their 6th straight game along with starting quarterback Josh McCown. McCown injured his right shoulder in the fourth and was replaced by Austin Davis, whose 42-yard TD pass to Travis Benjamin tied it with 147 remaining. Well, those are your current sports quick hint headliners. Our phone lines are open. Call in 517-355-9527. It's time to start the show.
Excited about this opportunity, and these are things that we work on all year long, really from the beginning of February all the way through, pretty much like I said the other day. So everything that we do, recruiting, everything points to in this direction, to be able to play for a Big Ten championship with the hope that that leads us to other things, great things down the line. So I think Iowa has an outstanding football team, obviously 12-0. Very, very impressed with their quarterback. And I think C.J. Beathard makes plays, makes good decisions, obviously hasn't thrown many interceptions, hasn't thrown one really since the Northwestern game, middle of the season. Good offense, very good offensive line, well-coached football team. Vandenberg, the wide receiver, is impressive, makes a lot of big catches for him. Very impressed with their tight end as well. Defensively, Desmond King, right here from Detroit. So still can't believe he got away. But anyway... is an outstanding player, 8 interceptions, and kick returner, punt returner, and has been a very good player for them. Jordan Lomax, Josie Jewell, good players, good defensive line, firm. Kirk Ferentz has done an outstanding job there in his time there, 17 years. He's built a culture there. He's built a program. He's built a legacy there. And, it'll be a great challenge for us to be able to play and be successful. But we're looking forward to that, and I'll take some questions.
Beautiful people, welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, the man behind the mic, Al Martin. Always have been. Again, we've got a fun-filled show today. What you just heard was, of course, head coach of the MSU football team, Mark D'Antonio, as he addressed the media. That was his opening statement as Michigan State football, they prepare for a pretty big game that will be taking place at Lucas Oil Stadium, home of the Indianapolis Colts, this Saturday night, kickoff at 8:17 p.m. Of course, Gus Johnson, my favorite play-by-play announcer, he will be rocking the mic on that game along with Joel Klatt and Molly McGrath. It's going to be a fantastic game against Spartans, Iowa, Hawkeyes. It's going to be a fantastic game. And whoever wins this game, I mean, it's really hard to fathom that whoever wins this game will not be in the college football playoff. This is for a playoff spot, folks, without a doubt. So Antonio gave a preview. And in just a sec, of course, I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium, just getting back from that press conference. And I have a few bites for you all from our coverage out there. But before I move any further, because I'm sitting here right now in the studio, and I was cramming a bit. And because, of course, you know, it's like that every Tuesday morning. I mean, because D'Antonio's presser is at 11:30. After that, they brought in Connor Cook, Jack Allen, Darian Harris, and Shalit Calhoun. And then after them, Riley Bulla and Joel Heath, they walked in for the press conference as well. So when they usually do, you know, back-to-back press conferences after Coach D'Antonio, I try to stay for a little bit to see if there's anything interesting said from the players as well. So I stayed there till about 12:30, and then I had to run out of there, and I'm cramming trying to put together these bites for the show. But right before I walk in the door, Isaac's like, "Hey, Al, my mom made some bread for you." And I'm like, "Bread? We had talked about it before, I guess, and I couldn't remember that we had talked about it." And I walk in, and there's this foil on the radio desk here at Studio S. And I'm sitting there like, "All right, well, let me work out some things here and make sure I upload and get the show ready." And I finished it with about 5 minutes left. Well, literally, no, I looked up. It was like 12:57. And I'm like, "Well, let me just taste a little bit," because I haven't eaten anything all morning. I know, very unhealthy, right? I should start eating breakfast every morning, but I rarely get a chance to eat breakfast. I'm always just wake up, take a shower, go to work. So, you know, I thought, hey, why not try the bread out? And I opened the foil and tried the bread, and oh my goodness. This has to be, it's actually, Isaac told me it's pumpkin bread, and it is some of the best bread I've ever had in my life. I'm sitting here staring at it right now, very tempted to just dive into it right now, but I can't. That'll be unprofessional. I'm on the air right now, okay? So I'm going to save it for later, but I want to give a special shout out to Mother Constance for this unbelievable treat, because I really appreciate any time I get some free food, all right? So Isaac, when you see your mom, tell her I said thank you, okay? He's throwing up the thumbs up right now, but phone lines are open. He's actually on the phone right now. We've got a few callers calling right now. Again, blow us up. We want to hear from you. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And again, later on in the show, our guest for today will be a good friend of ours. His name is Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich has also joined me on Current Sports TV, and he is just a wealth of knowledge, and he loves talking baseball. So I thought it'd be fitting today with the signing, of course, of Jay Zim, Jordan Zimmerman, of course, for the Detroit Tigers. I thought I'd ask Richard about his thoughts on that signing and what can we expect from the Tigers next year, and what does this signing mean? This is a pretty big name, Jordan Zimmerman, one of the premier pitchers in baseball, now becoming a Tiger. And I tell you what, the lineup of Justin Verlander, Zimmerman, and Anibal Sanchez, oh, talk about a 1-2-3 punch. So Richard would join us there during our second segment of the show. And then later on, we'll chat up a little bit about Kevin Durant criticizing the media over their treatment of Kobe Bryant. We'll have some interesting thoughts on that, and also the MSU men's basketball team. So call in 517-355-9527. But first, let's dive into what Coach D'Antonio had to say at today's press conference. Of course, Coach D'Antonio, again, as I stated, addressed the media, and he touched on a variety of different things. And, you know, first off, I want to talk about Desmond King, who is one of the premier players in the Big Ten Conference, one of the best defensive backs in the entire nation. Of course, Phil Parker, who's the defensive coordinator for Iowa, he's actually a Michigan State grad. He graduated from Michigan State back in 1986. And Phil Parker, he started off as the DB coach and then became the defensive coordinator. He's done one outstanding job. And I tell you what, he has a gem in this kid, in Desmond King, who's a Detroiter. And Antonio kind of joked about how, I don't know how in the world we let him slip through our hands and go to Iowa to play, because he is just one stud. And he was even asked about that. D'Antonio was asked just how close he was to actually signing Desmond King. And this was what he had to say.
You know, we were close to offering Desmond, and we had him. I can't remember whether we had him in camp or not, but he had an outstanding senior year, and at that point in time, we were sort of filled up, in the secondary. But he had an outstanding senior camp. He was right there. He was one of those guys we had to make a decision on as a junior, coming out of his junior year. Good player, great cover guy, good tackler, great ball skills, very confident, leadership skills. Punt returner, kick returner. You can tell he has football leadership skills on the field. And, you know, he's been a mainstay in the back end for Phil Parker, graduate of Michigan State, defensive coordinator. So.
Yes, he certainly has. Actually, Desmond, he headlined the list of players, a name to that All-Big Ten defensive team on Monday. He was named first team All-Big Ten by a vote of league coaches and media. King was also named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year Award in the conference. So Desmond King, he is going to really be a player to watch this Saturday when the Spartans take on the Iowa Hawkeyes in the Big Ten Championship game. I can only imagine that he'll probably be lined up against receivers like Aaron Burbridge and, of course, McGarrett Kings. More so, I think we'll see him a lot on Aaron Burbridge, seeing as though Aaron Burbridge has been the stud for that Michigan State wide receiver core. We've seen Kings blossom as of, the past three games, but it's going to be a very interesting matchup for that wide receiver core going against a player like Desmond King and really a pretty stout Iowa defense. But it really amazing. You just never know sometimes. And Michigan State has had players like that as well. I mean, I always bring up Darquez Dennard, a player who was not highly touted maybe coming out of high school. You know, maybe like a three-star guy. And then what does he do? He comes to Michigan State and becomes the best cornerback in the nation. Point blank, period. So, but yeah, I'm sure Coach D'Antonio, whenever he hears Desmond King's name, he's sitting there saying, wow, what in the world were we thinking? You know what I mean? So he chimed in on that. Also, of course, D'Antonio, one thing I love about Mark D'Antonio is that it seems as though each and every year, right before the season starts, he makes it known to the media, to the outside forum, that these are our goals. We want to do this, we want to do that, and we want to do this. And that's one thing I've always admired about Coach D'Antonio, because when evaluating other programs sometimes they will give you, most programs out there will give you the cliche answer. Okay, what do you want to accomplish this season? Well, we just want to take it one game at a time. And just kind of look at those goals week by week by week. We just want to win. Now, they'll give you the real cliche answers, but D'Antonio has been a guy that, you know, he wants to make those goals known, and then once those goals are known, he uses it as motivation as the season moves on. So he was also asked about that and why he is so adamant and letting it be known that this is what they want to accomplish.
Well, I just think people need to know what direction we're going in, you know. There's no secrets here. You know, we built this program to a point where those are our goals now. Initially our goals were to do other things, but this is where we're at now. This is why we've come here. We've recruited to these goals. And the fact that we've reached to this point, we've reached here, we're at this point, gives credibility to what we talk about here. And so that's what we do. We paint a picture for our players, and I think every coach in America probably does that. They paint pictures for their players and their programs, and then they try to color him in, I guess. So,
Yeah, Coach D has always been that way. You can even date back to when the Spartans, of course, made before they made their first trip to the Rose Bowl against Stanford for the first time since 1988. Coach D'Antonio always talked about how we want to go to the Rose Bowl. We haven't been there since the 80s. We want to make that happen. And he was not shy in letting that be known. And then what happens? They go and beat Stanford and hoist up a Rose Bowl championship trophy just before the college football playoff is enacted. But I love that. It's a great motivational technique, because if you hide them, you know, you kind of have an excuse. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that every program in-house lets it be known that, hey, I believe that they're more adamant. You know, they're really clear cut as to what they want to accomplish amongst themselves in house. But when it comes to the media, we all know how we can be. We like to place, you know, expectations on teams, and when it seems like they're falling short of those expectations or those goals that they may have addressed to us, we harp on them and we beat them down. Coach D'Antonio embraces that criticism because he knows that at the end of the day, it can make this team mentally tough and tough in other areas as well.
Well, and you and I did that exact same thing. When the Spartans reached number 2 this season, their highest ranking in the polls in 40 or whatever years, you and I said, this needs to be the year that the Spartans take the final step up, make the college football playoff, and they're right on track. But that does provide fuel for a team to keep going. It reminds them that one loss does not mean that their goal is unattainable. One loss on maybe a fluky play even, or a game that looks like it's a loss, you've got to battle through that. You have that end goal. It's always going to be a one game at a time mentality that's preached. But at the same time, you know that you're fighting for something greater than that one game. And the Spartans, I think, have shown that throughout the season. Great perseverance in so many tight matchups. Even if they shouldn't have been close, they just knew they had to win out. So I like when a coach makes his goals known to everybody, because you know that there's going to be an expectation, whether that coach says so to the media or not. There's always that benchmark that a team has to reach. And I kind of like having it known to everybody what that team is shooting for.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a great leadership technique that I think will be mimicked, especially if Michigan State can go to the college football playoff and maybe win the entire enchilada. Of course, Michigan State has a been-there-done-that mentality, and experience certainly bodes well when it comes to a postseason run. If you were winding the clock just 2 years ago, back in 2013, Michigan State defeated Ohio State 34-24 to win the Big Ten championship and, of course, represent the conference in that 100th Rose Bowl game on January 1st of 2014. So, interesting dynamic, because now Michigan State returns to the Big Ten championship game. They will take on the 12-0 Iowa Hawkeyes, and D'Antonio addressed what exactly that been there, done that mentality and that experience does for this team approaching this Saturday.
I think it's an advantage for us internally. I don't know versus them and all that, but for us, having players have gone there in 11, and some of us sat in the stands because you're only allowed so many players on the field. Some of them were on the sidelines, did not play, but they experienced the game. And then going there in 13, a lot of our guys played in that game and being successful there. And now this is the third time in 5 years that we've been able to go and play for a championship. So I think that can't hurt us. You know, that can only help us. And our players can talk to the other people and give them that experience, what the stadium's like, what's this like, you know, what's the climate like, the atmosphere like. It's a sellout. Should be very exciting for them. Game day's there again. So this will be the fourth time we played on game day, I guess, or had game day there. So that'll be exciting as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. And experience certainly helps in moments like this, because no one is really awed by the spotlight. I mean, if you've been there before, you know what to expect. You've been in that atmosphere. You've been in that crazy fandom and just that fanatical attitude. So for Michigan State, approaching this game, they're not wooed by the hoopla. Point blank, period, and that's something that even, you know, keens to that focus as well, a focus that you need to have in a game like this too. So interesting, you know, I want to ask this question, Isaac. Before D'Antonio became the coach for the Michigan State football team, what was your perception of Michigan State football?
Michigan State football? I thought they just had a basketball team, to be honest. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I know that they did have a football team. Were they relevant whatsoever? I remember one bowl game against LSU, in fact, that I think LSU, now I could be mistaken, this was when I was 6 or 7, but I think LSU won it fairly handily, actually. And I don't remember ever paying attention to Michigan State football. I remember when Michigan State, and this was far before I was a Spartan fan, made the Final Four year after year, made the championship against UNC. I remember they had teams in the early 2000s that I really was a fan of, actually, because I liked the way they played. But football was totally off the radar. So it's incredible to see how DeAntonio's turned this team into one which is one of the most feared and respected in the nation. I mean, we're talking about a team that now, if you say Michigan State football, if you say Michigan football, if you say Notre Dame football, choose one. You choose Michigan State. And that's against two of the best programs in college football history. Michigan State, it's amazing what a difference, what a transformation one coach can make.
Yeah, you know, for me, before I became a Spartan here at Michigan State as a student, let's see, in 2008. Yeah, I came here in 2008 and graduated 2012. Before that, to be honest, I wasn't like a diehard college sports fan, period. It wasn't until I was immersed in that atmosphere here at college where I became more, I guess you could say that interest really peaked when it comes to college sports. And prior to, you know, the D'Antonio reign here at Michigan State University, for me, I had just heard about what Tom Izzo had done with that basketball program for years and years, especially, of course, I always tell the story how I remember, you know, sitting back with my grandfather watching Michigan State win the entire enchilada with Mateen Cleaves and the Flintstones back in 2000. I mean, Michigan State for me, for the young pups coming up, for the millennials coming up, I mean, basketball was on the spotlight more so than football. It's not to say I don't want to demean the Michigan State football tradition, because it is certainly a rich one. Of course, when you look back in the 90s, I mean, players like, you know, the Ducats, I mean, I could go on and on when it comes to the history of football. But at that time, Michigan State hadn't really come close to even competing for a national championship. But D'Antonio, over the years, and really in such a short time span, I mean, D'Antonio came here in 2007. And I mean, that's not too far ago, folks. I mean, now it's 2015, and what he has been able to do here is really unbelievable. To the point now, when you bring up Michigan State football, I believe it garners more attention because this team is now a national championship competitor. So here is D'Antonio's thoughts on the brand of Michigan State football and whether or not he had any doubts when he first took this job.
All the success you've had, I imagine you believed it was possible. But is there a moment or a game where it dawned on you that it can happen? Was there either a victory or something that happened that you realized?
This year?
No, since you've been here, that you realized this is possible. What, is there a game or a moment or anything that happened that you realized this will work?
I've never had any doubts, to be quite honest with you. Even since 2007, we went into every game, and we felt like we could win. We lost in double overtime to Iowa that year. So I really never had any doubts. I've never said, didn't expect to win that one. That's just the way we've been here. You know, we've had some great players come through here in the past 9 years, and everybody has done their part in bringing this program forward. So there's never been – I'm not pointing to 2010 saying that's the breakout year, or, you know, because we had some great wins in 2007 Penn State game, you know, and on it goes, you know, 2008. So you can reflect back. We had big games in every season that made a statement for that particular season. So I've never really looked at it like that. I guess when we won the Rose Bowl, went to the Rose Bowl, at this point in time, that's been the pinnacle. I think, you know, being ranked in top five the last 2 years is something that we can point to. But every team has had that moment that where you said, okay, good things are happening and we can move forward.
And to be honest, if you are going to be great at whatever you do, no matter what you do, folks, no matter what profession you are in, whether that be a teacher, construction worker, you know, if you work the front desk somewhere, in order to be great at what you do, no matter what it is, you have to have confidence. And I expected D'Antonio to answer that question from Bob Wojnarowski just like he answered it. I had absolutely no doubts. No doubts. There have been no doubts in my mind since I took this job that what has happened at Michigan State could happen. Absolutely love it. I want to go to our phone lines right now. We have one of our favorite callers on the airwaves with us. Again, call in 517-355-9527. I know he wants me to get him on because I believe he told our engineer Isaac that he is preparing himself a bath. So I want to get him on right now. Ray, I don't want to hold up your bath. Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy? I got to go get my grandkids here in a minute. Thanks for getting me on.
I thought you were preparing a bath. Isaac told me you're preparing yourself a bath.
That's what I thought.
I got new tennis shoes. I just got done with my 5 miles. My feet are all sliced up from the new tennis shoes.
So no.
I got to get in there and take a hot bath. But, hey, you guys, I'll tell you, you better not sleep on Iowa. They don't turn the ball over. You better not start turning the ball.
Oh, do we still have him? Ray, you're cutting out on us. But what'd you say there, Ray?
I said you better not turn the ball over Saturday. That Iowa team's a darn good team.
Oh, certainly. I mean, Iowa – I mean, Ray, they're not 12-0 for nothing. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of weapons. They're very disciplined. Again, I mentioned how their defense is very stout. Desmond King, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the Big Ten. Iowa is a team that's very talented, and I don't think Michigan State is going to have that mentality whatsoever.
Thank your coach over the years since I got fired. You're 7-1 against Michigan, and the Buckeyes are 11-1. I wonder if the bullies are ready to humble themselves down there yet.
You can
humble yourself.
there it is, Ray. You've been such a dedicated caller on this show over the years, Ray, that we've actually used one of your snippets as kind of a roll-in. Anytime Michigan is brought up, Isaac.
We've got a couple of them, right? We got...
You can humble yourself.
And also...
Beat the bully.
Beat the bullies and humble yourselves. I mean, those are two landmark Ray sayings. So we have a few Ray-isms on the show now, Ray.
All right. Have a good day, my friend.
Ray, thanks for calling. Always a great one. Folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And also, here's Coach D on the MSU brand and what it means, you know, to have, you know, two of the premier programs, two of the programs that everyone looks at when you discuss college sports and college football and college basketball, to have Izzo and D'Antonio here doing what they do, what that means to the overall MSU brand.
I think for me personally, you know, when Michigan State's out there, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, whether it's academics or anything, you know, it's a positive because, you know, that's what we represent. So no different than anybody else. So, but I try and just, for me, I just go to work and try and win a football game. That's what I'm trying to do. You know, every week I'm told to come over here and have a press conference. So today I put on a tie and came over. Okay, but, you know, I'm just working it. We're just working. But I've always thought that Michigan State had a brand. You know, right now, you know, it certainly is talked about often relative to what's going on here athletically and within our university in general and everything else. So it's very positive. But I've always thought we've had a great name out there. You know, we're a world-class university in all respects, not just athletically.
Yes, the MSU brand is certainly alive and well. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich will chime in on the latest addition to the Detroit Tigers, as well as give us his thoughts on the upcoming Big Ten championship game between the Spartans and Hawkeyes. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. The Detroit Tigers, they got their man. Yeah, when the Tigers, when Mike Ilitch stopped by the Tigers War Room earlier this offseason, first-year GM Al Avila, he told his boss which one was their top target. And, of course, it was right-handed starting pitcher Jordan Zimmermann. Well, yesterday at Comerica Park, wow, their top target sat directly to Ilitch's right inside the Tiger Club, under contract for 5 seasons and $110 million. So now you're talking Jordan Zimmermann joining Justin Verlander. And then also you look at, when looking at this 1-2-3 rotation, Anibal Sanchez. That's going to be fantastic, and I really think that's going to do great things for this team. But, they are coming off a year that this team certainly performed below expectations, to say the least. And right now we have a man to sort of dive into this acquisition and give his thoughts on what the Tigers will look like next year. It's my man and good friend of the show, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, how you been, my man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much. Really, really excited about heading to Indianapolis this weekend. And I kind of want to dip my toe in the water with respect to the Tigers and then tell you some things about the game Saturday that you may not know.
Without a doubt, Rich.
As far as the Tigers are concerned, now Ryan Zimmermann, absolutely, good. Well, on paper, right? A very solid acquisition for this team. That's quite a commitment. I've got to say, I was wrong about the Tigers approaching this offseason. I thought last year was such a crushing disappointment. As much money as they spent in payroll, signing free agents who they had to get rid of in midseason because they were afraid they weren't going to be able to keep it at the end of the year. David Price and Yonis Cespedes. I kind of thought that Ilitch this year would just kind of sit back and just sort of wait for the new hockey arena to open, that it was going to be a blow-off season for the Tigers, frankly. They were 20. They couldn't stay within 20 games of first place last year after an 11-3 start like that. I was sure they'd fire the manager. They didn't. And I thought that move was just so they didn't – he still owed $1 million in his contract this year. I figured they were just going to sort of cruise along, and they didn't want to pay two managers this year. But, look, I'm wrong. When he shells out $110 million like that for Zimmermann, it tells you that he is serious. And, yeah, the top of the rotation looks solid if Justin Verlander, can pitch the full season. Remember, he had a little tweak in his arm last year. Third week in spring training, they said he'd be out 2 or 3 days. Didn't return until June. Anibal Sanchez had to get shut down last year in the main because of arm problems. We have to see if Hill-Junk can come back. But if those two can, and they're joined as they are now by Zimmermann, you're right. It's very solid, the top three at the top of the rotation. The things that worry about Zimmermann, Tommy John surgery, but he's pitched 4 solid seasons since, although his velocity was down last year, and he had the 4th highest road ERA in the National League. So just a couple of things to stick in the back of your mind when you're talking about Zimmermann. But this is a guy who won 33 ball games over the course of the past two seasons, so you're thinking he should be solid. Then the 4 and 5 slots, Norris, Boyd, unproven commodities, young pitchers that are coming up, and then Shane Green and Kyle Obstein, who showed last year, not ready. All right, the bullpen. Yeah. At the back end, you signed Frankie Rodriguez, 13 years in the major leagues, a known quantity there. They should be all set in terms of a closer. That's huge. Now the question is for this team, the bridge. How do you get from the 6th of the 7th inning to the 9th? And that's what killed them last year. It's what's killed them the past couple of years, is middle and long relief. Those questions have yet to be addressed. If they can address those just adequately, the team should be pretty solid, okay? Mm-hmm. I like the infield where you got James McCann, a great young catcher behind the plate. Cabrera, pretty much know what he can do at first base. Kinsler, one of the best second baseman of the game. Iglesias, the best glove shortstop in baseball. Castellanos has settled in nicely, very consistent at shortstop. Now you have some interesting options in the outfield. I'd like to go in center last year, but they did pick up Cameron Maben in that trade with Atlanta, bringing him back to Detroit. So depending on who plays center and who plays left there defensively, they should be in good shape. And then you got J.D. Martinez out in right field with his big bat. So on paper, they sure don't look like a team that should finish 20 games out of first again.
Yeah, and you know, you did a great job of breaking that down, Rich. And, you know, for Zimmerman, going back to Zimmerman for just a sec, he posted a 3.66 ERA this past season with the Nets, striking out 164 batters in 201 and two-third innings. He made 30-plus starts and thrown more than 195 innings in each of the past four seasons and fills the team's foremost need of a frontline starter. What makes Zimmerman, in your eyes, when breaking down his game technically, a great pitcher in this game? What makes him so good, Rich?
Well, it's got to be command and control. That's what it always is. He'll show you a solid strikeout to walk ratio and getting ahead of hitters. Just the basic stuff that makes a pitcher effective. He's got what Jim Price always calls an arsenal. You know, he can mix those pitches. It's just basic baseball. He's a good, solid major league guy. Again, the things that worry you. His overall velocity last year was the lowest of his career. Mm-hmm. But he should still be a prime guy for that. Tommy John surgery is always the wild card. But again, he's had four solid seasons since the Tommy John. The question is moving forward. I'm just not sure there's enough data on the effect of that surgery over the long term. Mm-hmm. That should be the only concern with respect to him. You should be able to slot him in there. They said, and a lot of baseball people said that next to Zach Greinke and one or two others, Johnny Cueto, you know, this was the top guy on the free agent market in terms of pitching, and the Tigers are fortunate to have landed him, fortunate to have the owner that's willing to shell out yet again a contract in excess of $100 million to get a player like that.
Yes,
but again, my thinking was that he had spent so much money on so many of these players just to have it, you know, just flat out not work out and to finish 20 games out like that last year. Mm-hmm. Was just a shocker, biggest shock in baseball. And I thought he might just say, well, to heck with it, you know, we got the Red Wings moving into the new arena, you know, we'll focus on them. You know, kind of let the Tigers slide here a little bit, but nope, at 86 years old, Ilitch is still committed to winning a world championship. So we'll see if the pieces are finally in place.
Yes, a 74-87 record.
Ouch.
Last season.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know, right? That hurt me just saying that, Rich. Now,
and remember the way they started. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Hot start, right?
And they were pretty – I think they were like a game out of first on June 1st.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, and then it just have the bottom fall out like that, you know. So, but we'll see if they can turn it around. Hey, what's at stake? Can we talk football now? Can we? Yes, we can.
That's a great transition now.
what's at stake in the big game there in Indianapolis on Saturday night?
Oh, just a spot in the college football playoff. That's all, Rich.
what's the loser get?
That's a good question. I think the loser is going to be just on the outside looking in. And in my opinion, I'm you know, maybe at the
oh sure they will
oh
yeah.
without a doubt at the sixth spot, yeah. Maybe the, you know, maybe the seventh spot.
But everybody thinks that they'll be the second best team in the Big Ten, and therefore will automatically go to the Rose Bowl. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know what? I was reading the Big Ten release before the game on Saturday, and it turns out that's not necessarily the case because, and I didn't know this, the Rose Bowl in this scenario gets to pick whichever Big Ten team it wants.
Really?
To come out and play. I know.
So it doesn't matter who the second best is.
They could pick Northwestern if they wanted to.
Wow. I had no idea that's the way it works.
Yeah, so, I thought the deal was that if the Big Ten champion was committed, because remember 2 years ago when it was Michigan State and Ohio State, mm-hmm. and Ohio State, I think they were ranked number one at the time, but they were certainly in the top four. Mm-hmm. And if Ohio State won, they were going to go to the playoff, and Michigan State would automatically go to the Rose Bowl as the Big Ten runner-up. And it sort of struck me as funny driving down to the game. I was thinking about it. State wins. If they go to the Rose Bowl, the state loses, they go to the Rose Bowl. But it turns out that the Rose Bowl it's totally their decision who they want to represent the Big Ten if the Big Ten champion goes to the playoff. So they could theoretically say, you know what, Ohio State travels better than whoever loses the game, be it Iowa or Michigan State, and they could pick Ohio State. They could pick Michigan. It's wherever they want. So that that really surprised me.
So, Rich, do you think that will happen? I mean, whoever loses on Saturday, do you think the Rose Bowl? Let's say Michigan State wins this weekend, and in Iowa, okay. Iowa falls. Do you think the Rose Bowl will choose Iowa to play in that game?
I think they would, but they might say, you know what? You know, Ohio State would have one loss.
Ohio
right?
State is a sexier team at the end of the day.
Precisely.
Right.
So
exactly.
they could proffer the invite to Ohio State. I'm just putting that out there. And the rules are, they could not be more clear. I just happened to read it, and I like sort of did a double take, and I read them again. But it's right there. Rose Bowl has sole discretion in picking the team if the Big Ten champion is in the college football playoff.
I did not know that.
I thought that the loser of the game Saturday would automatically, as the second-best team of the Big Ten, be going to the Rose Bowl. But turns out that's not the case. You know how there are teams out there, Al, that you feel your team should beat, but they don't always?
Mm-hmm. Right,
the
right.
Iowa, to me, is that team for Michigan State. Of the 13 opponents in the Big Ten that Coach D'Antonio has faced, he has a losing record against only three. Ohio State, Nebraska, and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Mm-hmm. And of all the Big Ten coaches he's coached against, he has a losing record against only two. Jim Tressel, against whom he was 0-2 when Tressel was coaching at Ohio State, and he beat D'Antonio's Spartans twice in their mm-hmm. only meetings.
Right.
And the only other coach to have a winning record against D'Antonio is Kurt Ferentz, who's 4-3 lifetime against D'Antonio. And it's interesting.
Is that dating back to D'Antonio's time? This is his tenure at Michigan State, 2007, since 2007.
I'm strictly speaking of D'Antonio as head coach at Michigan State.
Right, yes. Right. Wow.
And then and Ferentz, when he took over in 1999, I'd forgotten this. Iowa went winless in the Big Ten in his first year, 0-8. So Ferentz did not win a Big Ten game until the year 2000. And that victory was against Michigan State. All right. Now you look at the seven meetings between Ferentz and D'Antonio, and these are some of the most heartbreaking losses of the D'Antonio era. The first time they met was in D'Antonio's first season, 2007. State led 17-3 at halftime, wound up losing in double overtime in a game in which they held the Hawkeyes to 53 total passing yards. In 2009. You will remember this one. It was Kirk Cousins hitting Blair White with a 30-yard touchdown pass with a minute 37 to go to put yep. Michigan State into the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iowa drove 70 yards in 10 plays to win the game on the final play with no time showing on the clock. A Ricky Stanzi to Marvin McNutt touchdown pass.
Yep. I remember watching that
game in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, it was particularly galling. That was the year that Michigan State went to Iowa City, ranked fifth in the nation, a perfect 5-0, and they found themselves trailing 30-0 by halftime.
Oh, my goodness.
And they wound up losing 37-6. That was a play they had that Cousins got intercepted, and there was a lateral on the play, and, you know, Iowa ran it back for the touchdown. This was a sad note on that play. The guy who intercepted the pass was Tyler Sash, and he lateraled it to, and I didn't jot the name down, I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Sash, who intercepted that pass, he died in September at the age of 27.
Oh, my. What happened to him?
An apparent drug overdose kind of a situation.
Oh, my goodness.
But exactly. He was only 27 years old.
Wow.
And that was just, you know, as we say, in September. And that, I just read that, and I was just like, you know, well, you know, that's shocking, and it's just, it's so sad. But at any rate, you know, that turned out to be a rather crushing defeat for Michigan State, as they were ranked number 5 at the time, and gosh, they're behind, I think, 17-0 before they got a first down that day. State beat them in 2011, 37-21 at Iowa, and then in 2012, this was a galling one. Cold, rainy day at Spartan Stadium. Michigan State didn't do much on offense, but Iowa hadn't done a thing all day, and it looked like State was going to hang on for the victory before Iowa drove the length of the field, converting a second down and 26 to keep their drive alive. And they scored with under a minute to go to send the game into overtime on a run by their quarterback, Mark Weissman.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a Maxwell interception in the second overtime that gave Iowa the victory 19-16. another one, you know, that just tear your heart out, kind of a loss. And then 2013, I should say, the last meeting between the two teams, MSU won the game 26-14. You know who was Iowa's quarterback was at the 2013 Iowa MSU game?
Who was
the
that?
Iowa quarterback?
Who was that?
Jake Rudock.
Wow.
Yeah, I
did not know that either. Oh, yeah, of course, because Jake, Jake was.
Yeah, Rudock, of course, signed as a free agent with Michigan prior to the start of this season, okay?
Right.
Now, Iowa this year, just a couple of notes on them. They've gained 4,851 total yards. And you're like, okay, you know, whatever. Well, here's what's interesting about that. They have rushed for 2,444. Mm. They have passed for 2,407.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty good, you know.
That's,
you can't split it any closer
than
that, balance. I should say.
Talk about
their
balance.
Their quarterback, C.J. Beathard, is a perfect 13-0, including his 12-0 record this year as Iowa's starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And here's a nifty little note. The return man for these two teams, mm-hmm. Iowa's is named Desmond King. Michigan State's is, of course, McGarrett Kings.
Exactly. So you got two Kings returning.
Well, we'll see if two Kings. We'll see if multiple Kings. Michigan State's Kings is better than their one King.
I like that. Wow, Rich, you came ready today, my man. Oh, my goodness.
I think that's all I got.
That's all? That's it? Oh, my
goodness.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So before we get you out of here, we got like 2 minutes before we can get you out of here, Rich. Before we get you out of here, give us a quick score prediction and whoever you choose, why.
Well, please don't.
I'm putting you on the spot, Rich.
I can't. I know you are. I've always said I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can only tell you what has happened. All right. Now, it's going to be a great football game. I'm really excited about being at my third Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
I was there in 2011 when the state ran into the kicker in the final minute. Should have gotten the ball back at midfield and wound up losing, but didn't. Kicked the tying field goal and send it to overtime. It was a stunner 2 years ago. I was sitting next to an Ohio State game. After Michigan State blew that the big lead they had in the first half,
mm-hmm.
Ohio State goes in to take the lead. The writer sitting next to me, the nonpartisan press box, turns and says to me, I just want to say I honestly feel sorry for what's about to happen to you. And I thought that was the strangest thing anybody had ever said to me in a press box.
That is.
And I just
weird.
Sort of like nodded, whatever. And then State came back and scored the last 14 points of the game, and off to the Rose Bowl they go, and that was a great football game. I'm expecting another great football game. I'm expecting Michigan State to beat Iowa. I've got my concerns. It's going to be close,
mm-hmm.
but I think State will win this thing something on the order of 35-28. So I think it'll be a good high-scoring game, and I think State's going to come out on top because of that veteran experience, the fact that this is their third trip there and the first for Iowa. But Iowa, they've been a sneaky team all year. They remind you of State in 13.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, State did not appear in the polls until their November 2nd game against Michigan. Iowa did not appear in the polls until early second week in October, and they've just gone steadily upwards. They've gone from 22 to number 3. In 2013, State broke in at number 25, because Michigan that week was ranked 24, and State finished that season at number 3. So they mirror Michigan State in that respect, a team that's come out of nowhere, and gosh, I just think it's going to be a great game, and I'm really excited for Friday to get here so I can get on the road.
I hear you. And, Rich, we will be taking off Friday as well, and I will see you down there, my friend. And let's hope that it's a great one, and hopefully that history that you so eloquently gave to us through the airwaves, hopefully we can see kind of a back-and-forth battle on Saturday. It's going to be a fun one, Rich. And thanks so much for joining me, my man.
Look forward to seeing you on the field after the win, Al.
That's right. There we go. The one, the only Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will give a brief chat on our thoughts for the situation with Kevin Durant criticizing the media over its treatment over Kobe Bryant. Yeah, you don't want to miss that. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. How great was Richard Kincaid, huh? My goodness, he just gave us an entire synopsis of the Michigan State and Iowa history, as well as broke down the acquisition for the Tigers, pitcher Jordan Zimmermann, and even gave us a prediction. He predicts that Michigan State will win 35-28 this Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium in the Big Ten Championship game. Spartans over Hawkeyes. Take that to Vegas, huh? All right, well, 4 minutes left in the show. Briefly want to bring this story to your attention. Oklahoma City Thunder forward Kevin Durant says he idolized Kobe Bryant as a player growing up, adding that he was angry at the media for their treatment of the L.A. star. Quote, "I did idolize Kobe Bryant. I studied him, wanted to be like him. He was our Michael Jordan. I've been disappointed this year because you guys, meaning the media, treated him like blickety blank. He's a legend. And all I hear about is how bad he's playing, how bad he's shooting, and it's time for him to hang it up. You guys are treating one of our legends like blickety blank, and I didn't really like it. So hopefully now you can start being nice to him now that he decided to retire after this year." Of course, Kobe announced Sunday that he is retiring at the end of the season, doing so on the Derek Jeter form of the Players Tribune. Isaac, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the reason the media might be treating Kobe Bryant like blickety blank is because Kobe's playing like blickety blank. No offense, but as members of the media, our job is to cover the present. It's not, we bring you Throwback Thursday on Thursdays, but we're not going to be talking about Kobe's legacy the rest of the week. You and I both acknowledged all that he's done for basketball. Yes, one of the top five basketball ambassadors ever, in my opinion. He's done so much to grow the game. And now that he's retired, or retiring, I'm totally fine giving him that walk away into the sunlight, onto a beach, just let him live it out. Mm-hmm. But, no, before we knew that, he's just not playing well. The guy's shooting 30% from the field this season. That is indescribably
bad. Yeah, it's horrible. So, and I agree with you on this take, because at the end of the day, the media's job is to cover in the moment, in the present.
Exactly.
If you know, when looking at Kobe Bryant, it's no secret that Kobe Bryant has just been absolutely horrible. So our job when we're here on Talk Sports Radio and when the press is you know, who covers the LA Lakers are credited to put out columns about why the Lakers are struggling, it's hard to ignore the fact that Kobe Bryant is a part of that struggle, because it's, we all know, it's hard seeing a man with the talent of Kobe Bryant and who has the track record of success that he's had throughout his entire career, which will put him, I believe, in one of the top 10 best players that we've ever seen on the basketball court. But at the same time, he is hurting the Lakers right now, really hurting the Lakers, because I believe that when Kobe, especially the contract that he has, it's not allowing the Lakers to really dive into that talent pool that is in the NBA and acquire more talent on that team. So, yeah, it may hurt that Kobe Bryant is playing bad, but hey, KD, you got it all wrong. And this is no surprise here. KD does not like the media. I mean, we can go back to last season when he had some choice words for the media in their coverage of him in the Oklahoma City Thunder.
The injuries,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, the
and
injuries
the thing with
and so
Kobe,
on.
Too,
yeah.
Is he's getting paid $27 million a year. I saw an article yesterday. He's the second highest paid player in the history of the NBA when you consider his accumulation of career salary,
right,
only behind
right.
Kevin Garnett. So
it's
you
crazy.
Know what? He's being paid well to take the criticism.
Yeah, again, tremendously overpaid. So, yeah, all right. We'll have more thoughts on that tomorrow. But a special thanks goes to Richard Kincaid, again, Detroit sports broadcaster, for joining me on today's show. Special thanks to Ray and all of our other listeners out there. Again, thanks so much for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.